Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Word, the word association. We heard the implication. Dessert, evaluation. Word, the word association. Word, the word association. We heard the implication. Dessert, evaluation. Word, the word association.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Celebrity Tic-Tac-Toe. And where basically we have a bunch of our favorite TWA celebrities up on the contestants' row, and they're playing a classic game of tic-tac-toe or Hollywood Squares, more importantly. That's probably the original name of it. First, up in the left-hand right corner, it is everyone's favorite, Sebastian Maniscalco.
Thanks for having me. Who are these people doing game shows?
Of course, in the center square, all the time, every single time, is Forrest Gump, but from the second book movie, Gump and Co.
Is there a difference between me and me?
That's right. The author who wrote Gump and Co., the voiceover actor in Always the Center Square. And of course, wouldn't be a Hollywood Squares if we didn't have
just seven more celebrities. Went from top left to center pretty quick. Okay, honey, don't turn the channel. I'm watching this.
Oh, no.
I'm watching this, honey.
I committed to the bit. I forgot how many squares.
How many? How many? Jim J. Bullock. Please say Jim J. Bullock.
Corbin Burson.
What was the one? Who was the one who was always on? Who? Paul Lind.
Paul Lind.
Yeah.
Circle gets the square.
And oh my God!
Shadow Stevens.
It's been so long that I haven't. I forgot it was called Hollywood Sears. For some reason, I thought it was called Celebrity Tic Tac Toe.
I think that's also a thing.
Was it like a later on thing?
Probably.
Okay. I just wasn't sure.
Who's Shadow Stevens?
You don't know Shadow Stevens?
He was a radio broadcaster.
He was the announcer of Hollywood Squares, but he was also a square.
Hmm.
And I guess I geeked out. One time we were in L.A. I don't know if you were there, Adel, or not for this one, but we went to see a late night with Craig Ferguson taping.
I was there for one of them.
And as we were leaving, I was like, holy shit, that's Shadow Stevens. Shadow Stevens was Craig Ferguson's announcer, which I didn't realize, but he was just standing there. I was like, oh, it's Shadow Stevens. But no, everybody else is like, who's that? Like,
yeah. I mean, it tracks with Rob's taste in music and movies. That he would lose his mind over someone that we have no idea who.
But also, it's a pretty solid name. Like, that's not a name you forget.
Oh, yeah.
Shadow Stevens?
I thought he did Traffic.
Like, Hollywood
on
Squares?
Radio. No. I thought he was
Soderbergh
like, that's how
movie?
Originally he might made have. His
he,
name.
He very well could have been a Traffic guy. I don't know.
I thought he had a really good voice and he was on a popular, maybe LA radio
He
station.
Very well could have been.
Probably.
That would make sense. And then they would just wanted like a good voice for the announcer. Yeah, and he moved into announcing. Sure. I believe that.
Rob, when I was in L.A. seeing the Ferguson show with you, did you only go one time or did you go twice?
Twice.
Okay. I was there. Maybe it was like, was Rob Schneider the guest or something?
Yeah, you know, I don't remember. The first time it happened, we had a choice between Real Time or Craig Ferguson. Like, people were just handing out tickets. So I was like, well, let's go Real Time. But they wanted to go Craig Ferguson, so I went to Craig Ferguson.
Better call.
And then the second, well, I'm in the minority. I like real time. But then the second time, we wanted to go back deliberately because Craig Ferguson's warm-up guy.
That's right. That's what I kept hearing about.
Out of this world. And he was like nothing I'd ever seen before, and I had to see him again, and it was amazing.
Was it someone who became any famous whatsoever, or?
No, I believe he was on Dr. Phil for a weight loss thing. His name was, I think he was going by Chunky D or Chunky B, or... Wow. He's exactly what you would think like a warm-up comedian would be.
Yeah.
He would be like, guys, Craig needs us for this show. You guys, you laugh when Craig, it's just going to, you know, he was really pumped. And there wasn't an applause sign, but he was standing in the audience and like there was a laugh. He would like laugh loudly to get us to laugh. And like at one point he like patted my back to get laugh. And
like you're choking, like, baby.
He was like doing warm ups up and he would like throw candy around to people too. It was just so interesting to see that whole process. I loved it. And the second time we went, I was like, oh man, maybe he's not going to be here. This is kind of a bummer. And then literally, I kid you not, out of nowhere, a piece of candy like flew toward me, and I caught it, and I was like, "What the hell?" And it was Chunky B, and he threw the candy.
I was there the second time.
Oh my gosh,
it was great.
I have never in my life, if I go to like Caroline's in New York, Caroline's Comedy Club in New York, or when I went to that thing or whatever else, I am always exhausted because they'll have somebody come out and be like. Like you said, Craig needs us. Let's practice laughing. Let's practice laughing. Let's practice. Mm-hmm. I can't hear you. Let's do it again, but louder. By the time that's done, I'm in my head. I'm like, I don't want to laugh at anything now. I'm almost actively against you, and I'm against whoever's about to come out.
Yep.
Like I will almost make a point not to laugh now because fuck you. But if you just had somebody come out and be funny, I'll be kind and laugh at everything. But when they make you, they're like, I can't hear you. Let's try again. Not good enough. I'm like, get fucked. Yeah,
that's my number one.
The worst.
Absolutely cringe pet peeve. I hate it the most. Someone comes up, how you doing, Chicago? And everyone's like, yeah. And they're like, I couldn't hear. I'm like, oh my God.
Round of applause for yourselves. It's like, I don't need a round of applause. I don't deserve one.
And not to mention, like, you have to wait in a long line. So you're already, you get there, you're lined up. It's a very long day. And yeah, it is kind of exhausting. It's not like a great experience. It's kind of exhausting. It's like extra work.
I feel like people would have more energy if you just started.
Yes.
You know, if Craig just came out and was just like, let's roll into it.
I don't need to be taught how to laugh.
Now, Adel, you probably aren't playing tic-tac-toe as much as me and Rob do with having children or just having time to doodle when you're at restaurants and stuff like that. But you have a set move space that you play first if you do play tic-tac-toe?
I feel like the last time I played tic-tac-toe was probably 25 years ago. And I feel like there's a while where I found it really funny to... I would do anything except for center square. Like, I'd go anywhere else.
Yeah.
And then somebody obviously takes center immediately.
Right.
And then I would go to try and complete a line somewhere, and they would go to try and get, you know, their line. And I would act like I couldn't tell what they were doing. Like, I would act oblivious to, like, their strategy. And then people would be like, tic-tac-toe. And I'm like, oh, man, I didn't even see that. Because to me, it's not worth playing. If you're going to play, you should purposely lose to make the other person feel amazing. Because every tic-tac-toe should end in a stalemate. But if you let someone win and play dumb, they feel amazing. They probably think you're an idiot.
True.
But they feel...
There's so many draws. Yeah. I do want to go quickly back. I will say, Craig Ferguson, both times, he was great. I was like incredibly impressed with... He was fantastic. So I don't want to... I don't know why I felt the need to throw that out there. But I don't want to make it seem like it was a hammy thing or the laughs are necessarily forced. It was really fun to watch. He was great.
We're going to get into my word in just a second here, but we have a new update. This is our three tiny boys update. Three tiny boys. Obviously, the three of us are trying to get down to Rob's weight of 150. I've been doing some Taibo. I've been doing some crunches. I started taking cocaine, and I have lost 38 pounds. So I'm feeling...
Wow.
I haven't eaten...
See, and I unfortunately read your email wrong. And I got Thai food and not Thai bow. And I didn't go down this week, unfortunately.
Oh,
stayed
no.
the same, but didn't go down.
Okay. Well, we can also try and see if Rob will gain some weight for our purposes of all weighing the same, because I think that's a fun thing for three hosts to do, is weigh the exact same.
That would be really fun. That would be if we just nailed it, like, down to the 10th.
We do a live pound show, and I just keep passing out. we'll figure it out.
I would love to put on muscle. Wait, before you do, I do want to let you know, we teased it on the Patreon. I want to let you know, I'm absolutely not going to read the Tad Williams Bobby Dollar book. I looked it up just out of curiosity. It's $12.99, steep, but I would have paid it. I would have paid it. But the problem is, listening time was 15 hours and 35 minutes.
Ooh.
And that's too much.
That's a big ask.
That's a big ask. And Gump & Co. was like 2.5 hours.
How is that possible?
That's like 7 Gump & Co.'s.
How is that possible, though, that a book could be...
That's how I tell the length of things. I measure it by Gump & Co.'s.
How,
and the length of Gump & Co.'s?
When you get erect, how long is your penis? I'd say 2.5 Gump & Co.'s.
No, I don't know how long.
My wife and I have been married for 17 Gump & Co.'s.
Wait, what? Come on, it's an English measurement. Gemma,
what?
Gemma, listen
how
to
how is it possible?
Barbara Streisand. Well, it says 463 pages.
That's very long. Gemma listened to the Barbara Streisand audiobook, and it was 50 hours plus.
Wow.
Wow.
Because she's reading it, she makes changes in real time, and she acts stuff out, and she gives notes and stuff. So it's...
That is what my argument for was the Andre Agassi book.
Having the person read it.
We talked about before in the pod. If the person is reading it, it's going to be way more enjoyable. So I feel like that, if you love Barbara Streisand, that feels like a very fun thing to sit through.
Yeah. And she's led a life. She's got stories.
Oh, yes. My word today is...
Please be Streisand.
Contact.
Contact.
As in, I would like to have...
Jodie Foster.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I used to wear contacts. I had soft contacts. I believe at one time in my brother's life, he had hard contacts, which sounds insane.
Oh, my mom had those. Yeah.
Absolutely insane to me that you just put a piece of glass inside your eye.
Yeah.
Even soft ones were weird.
Yeah.
But then I had LASIK, and it was the greatest decision I ever made in my life.
How, on a scale of course, using the Gump scale, how painful is LASIK?
not even one Gump.
What, not really? Even a Gump.
It's not painful at all. It just is you're uncomfortable in your mind because, like, it just feels like pressure.
Mm-hmm.
There's no pain, but you're absolutely wide awake. There's absolutely a suction cup on your eyeball, keeping your eyeball open.
Mm.
And you can, there is a smell of burning.
Oh, I smell my eyes.
Yeah, there's no pain, though. You just feel this, like, brief amount of pressure on your eye, and then that's it.
Don't they inject your eyeball with a syringe?
I took a pill.
Oh. Now, Rob, I don't want to put you on the spot, but your wife had the most nightmarish story I've ever heard in my life.
She did.
Can you tell this on the
podcast?
Yeah,
she did get LASIK, and one, I think in like one eye, there was something like, I forget what it was, but they had to do something other than LASIK to that one, and it didn't like take.
Was it the French version? LASIK.
They put their tongue on their
eye? No, I can't remember the name of it, but so it basically, like, it ended up, like, not taking, and they were, like, offered to do it again, but they're like, no guarantees. It's just like, no way.
Did they give her like a baboon eye and it didn't take to the socket?
No, it was, it's just like, because you have to, like, you would know more than me, Brett, because I'm just like good with glasses, but if you have some sort of vision problem with an eye, like, it, you can't qualify for, like, so
yeah,
she had
like
something
if you
where
have
it was like
cataracts.
It wasn't cataract. I don't know if it was a stigma. I don't remember what it was.
I'm sorry. It was stigmatism.
Maybe it was something where they're like, we can't quite do this, but we could do a similar procedure that should yield the same effect. And it didn't.
Oosh.
So yeah, that didn't really.
Yeah. I will say, you are correct. If you have stigmatism, I know it makes it harder and maybe that's different.
Right.
I just had, you know, I just couldn't, you know, see far away.
Right.
But I was shocked they did it. You basically, like, you have to wear glasses you know, for like 12 hours or whatever. And I woke up that next morning and you sleep. Like you go home and you basically sleep because you need time to heal. I woke up that next morning.
You wear glasses,
and
you sleep. So it's everything's exactly the same as before. You had
LASIK. You had to wear like a protective eye thing and you had to put drops in your eye like like 5 hours. Yeah. But I woke up that next morning and I was 100% 20/20 vision. It was shocking.
That's cool.
Like I woke up and I could read the clock across from my like house or whatever across my room.
Wait, what? Like, holy shit. You have falcon vision.
You could see through walls?
Yeah. I could see the pilgrims landing at Plymouth Rock.
Yeah, you see some crazy shit.
I saw through time.
You saw dead people when I woke up.
I refuse to get LASIK, I did get a surgery where my left eye has starred in such films as Carrie, and my right eye has starred in such films as Coal Miner's Daughter and In the Bedroom. I got Spacek.
Nice.
And I was a bit of a baby during it. I was a bit of a...
I originally got it only in my left eye, and then I went and chased a waterfall, and I got like particles in it, and so then they had to do it on my other eye.
And that was left eye LASIK? What was this? What were you doing?
Left eye from TLC.
Okay.
Yeah. We know.
She burnt her boyfriend's house.
Well, she burnt down Andre Rison's house.
Sure.
Yeah.
Batman Come Rising. On up, yeah. Andre Rison. It's one of my favorite Springsteen songs. I also, so still talking about me in contacts, Adel, you wear contacts, correct?
Yes, since college, yeah.
Do you wear soft ones or whatever?
Dailies, disposable dailies yeah, which are soft.
Have you ever like had one in and you thought it had fallen out?
Yes.
And then you put a new contact in? Only to feel irritation throughout the day, and then you realize, oh no, my other contact is still in my eye, but it's like in my skull.
Yes, when you, because when you blink, your eyes go back, and your pupils turn around, like your eyes do a 180. So it does get stuck sometimes behind your eye.
Wait, when you blink, that happens every time you blink?
I think so.
Really?
Well, I read
I
that
think
once
I'd see
in
my
like,
brain a lot more.
I read that once in like 1998, and I never bothered to follow up. But
yeah. But I did wear contacts in high school and a little bit of college, so I did have that too, where I actually did put two in one before, not realizing it. And I've also, did you guys ever do this where it fell out and you just put it in your mouth and then put it back in your eye?
100%. You had to lube it up.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Never done that at all? Yeah. It's not ideal. It stings. But you gotta like, because you don't
really
have any, if you're,
yo, you gotta.
If you don't have saline, if you're out somewhere, you got no choice. You just put it in your mouth, throw it in.
I mean, there were tons of times where like I had, this happened to us. We were at I.O. one time and I.O. was next to that strip club. And so sometimes, you know, when I.O. closed, the strip club would stay open. So we would go over there to drink. And that was when I wore contacts. And like I had to take my contacts out because my eyes were so tired. And then we went to the strip club and I was blind and I couldn't see anything inside the strip club.
Oh, that's a worst case scenario.
I mean, honestly, worst case scenario.
Do you want a lap dance? I don't know.
My wife was also there with us at the time, so it wasn't as bad. Did you also, and this is probably gross, sometimes I would fall asleep, and then I would like fall asleep, and I'm like, oh, fuck, my contacts are still in. And I would just take them out, and then I would just put them like behind the bed or something, and just throw them on the ground.
Yeah.
And then he'd like go to clean one day, and there'd be like 50 little plastic.
Graveyard?
Dry little contacts.
That happens to me weekly. I just Googled, do your eyes roll back when you blink? The answer is, sequential photography of the cornea in profile reveals the eye moves inward and back out again during a blink. I don't know what that means. Inward? That means back towards your brain?
Like toward
inward?
Your nose?
I think inward.
I don't know. The eye moves inward and back out again. But what? I guess inward would be back towards
My question is, yourself? If you had a little hole, if you had a little hole in your eyelid, do you think you'd be able to, because it does not blacked out, do you think you'd be able to see it then?
All right, calm down, Dr. Moreau. We're not gonna do a little experiment.
I mean, why not? I mean, it'd be fun.
But what else? So other than there's like first contact, or you can contact somebody.
What do you mean by first contact?
Like alien?
Like aliens?
Yeah, like making first contact. Oh, yeah. Or anything, really. Or maybe there are still people on this world, in the world, that are, you know, undisturbed.
Amazonian.
Living.
Yes.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
There's first contact football, which is when we invite aliens to play.
They'd win.
Oh, they'd crush us.
They would.
Absolutely.
Like, this game's easier if we just, instead of tackling you, we'll kill you.
You could do like you have to do like a hands on a hard body contest, and you have to make contact with the car, and you can't, you know, take your hand off it, or you lose the Camaro.
I don't think I would last. I don't think I could last that long.
No.
I would be not the first one out. I would wait. I would not be the first person out, but I think I would be the second person out. I would be like, you know, I don't want to be last place, but I'm not going to do this for that long.
I think I'd be second or third out, and it wouldn't be because I got tired. It would be because I messed up somehow and like either changing my hand to like reposition or something. Like my hand would just slip off.
Now, I just recently had to explain what hands on hard body was to Gemma because she thought it was like touching a bodybuilder or something.
Sure.
And then I was like, hands on a hard body. And then I thought about it. I'm like, she's right. Shouldn't it just be like hands on a car? Like, why
also,
is it called?
If it was a bodybuilder, I would win that competition. I'm not taking my hands off. Yeah.
Sir, please.
Just put some glue in my hand and just grab the dick and just, you know, it would do the work for me.
But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why. I guess it sounds like.
It does sound like. If you're not familiar, it does sound like.
Yeah, it does sound.
That sounds
you're
weird.
Just touching a bodybuilder.
Do they still do those?
I don't.
I feel like those contests
like
an 80s have gone
away. I think
away.
They're done because I think all the radio contests like that are done based off of the Nintendo Wii one we've talked about before. Where
or what about like the dances
died.
Where you, like the last couple dancing wins?
Oh, dance-a-thons? Oh, yeah. I don't think they do that anymore either.
Yeah.
And people would be up for like 3 days.
Yes.
And it's like, I think they're changed for life.
Yeah.
And they probably like their breath is probably terrible. They're sweaty. They're like.
There was some, I forget the guy's name. It wasn't like Wolfman Jack, but there's some radio, like a radio DJ in maybe the 50s who did a thing for charity or whatever where he stayed up for 3 days straight on the radio.
Ooh.
And they said he went insane. They said he was like never the same.
That would be fascinating. Oh, not on the air just after?
I think towards the end, I'm sure he was belligerent.
Really, yeah.
But I think they said afterwards, they're like, yeah, he was never the same. And it's like, yeah, of course. What do you, why would you do that to yourself? Oh, here's the one thing I'll say. As a kid and as an adult that I would pay big money for, which makes no sense because it's beside the point. I want to do one of those phone booths, the
grab
wind
the money?
With
oh, yep,
dollar.
Yep.
Yes. I always wanted to do that. And they don't, I don't see them anywhere anymore.
Funny enough, if you go to my aquarium at by our house, my aquarium, as in the town I live in, but actually not true. It's in a different state, but it's across the river. They have a booth there.
So
it's not.
Do you want to go back
all?
And retake that?
No, not at all. It's in Kentucky, but it's across the river.
My Sharona. Well, not my Sharona. It's actually, if you go to West Virginia.
No, okay. Everyone will get there. Everyone listening will go on that journey. They have a hurricane booth. And you could pay like $3 and you close the door and it basically shows you like what hurricane force winds are.
Oh, but no dollar bills are flying
around. You could get though. You could easily do it.
So take that and make it hurricane force winds, WINS.
Oh my God, so
put 100 singles in it. I think that'd be fun.
I have a feeling it is still, I do see it every once in a while at like a bank. Or like if you open a new checking account, they'll have that. Or I feel like
really,
I feel like that's where I saw it recently, or it was like at maybe I was at like a sporting event and like the bank had set up a booth or whatever and was like if you sign up for a new checking account, we'll let you go in here to you know whatever.
You think you would do well?
I would not open an account. Yes, I think I would do very well.
I think I would go in feeling confident, but then it'd start flying around, and I think my strategy would be off. I think the bad strategy just reaching with your hand. I think there's like using a shirt or something,
right? I was about to say,
right?
I've been served TikToks of it before, and it seems like the way to do it is either you shirt it or like you press your hands like against the glass like this, so as it swirls, it gets like stopped.
Do you have a different strategy at all?
I absolutely top and bottom of a shirt or sweater or whatever, or even have like several layers and like pull them apart. And then also I would do like 1970s MLB pitchers. I'd have some like some sort of sticky.
Oh, yeah, you got some stick them on there.
For sure. Stick them?
Oh, you just go and hug a maple tree and they'd be like, all right, I'm ready to go. You'd be like.
Where's she sticking to me? I'm like, I don't know what it is. Maybe the money's attracted to me.
I feel like a lot of people don't just pick it up off the floor. They're like, that's not playing the game. I'm like, it's legal.
Yeah.
Just starts, you know.
It just always looks so fun.
So fun.
Well, it might be fun for us to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of the word association.
Money's flying.
Linear. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back, and we don't have a cash booth, but we do have an email booth. Brett is in there right now. Brett,
all right, I'm very excited.
Turn on the machine.
I'm gonna try. All right, here we go. Three.
Okay, here we go.
Two. One.
And here we go.
Lots of emails flying around.
I can't
around.
Grab them.
Lots
I can't
of,
grab
lots
them.
Of emails.
Lots of emails. Oh, I can't
Use
grab
your shirt.
Wait, Use your... I know. I have to summon them.
Can't really
mail
grasp.
Mail time. Mail
Oh, the emails
time.
Are... Oh, wow. Sort of...
It's like
I'm
a
parting
Disney
them
princess.
Like the Red Sea. I'm parting
yeah.
them.
They're mail landing time. On his finger like Snow White in the Forest.
That's right, folks. My favorite blowjob every week is picking up mail
huh?
and reading it.
What? Whoa.
We need to rename
what?
The booth.
No, I mean, it says blowjob.
Wait, I want to turn.
yeah. like, no, it's not what you think. It's just grabbing emails, unfortunately.
I love being like, I got an email. My favorite blowjob was a whoa. yeah. What?
I mean, it was a bit
Let
of
me
a...
Just, you, is that the email?
Let what? Me just get this email out of the glory hole.
Well, that's where it is, inside the blowjob machine.
Well, we got to have a new segment, my favorite blowjob.
This email is from Wade. Thank you, Wade, for sending us an email. It says, hello, very good restaurant. Love the podcast, and I couldn't express my joy when my work group decided to go to this restaurant, eerily similar to DeMunkino's.
Oh.
During a conference in Monterey, California yesterday.
Monterey.
The restaurant also claimed to be the owners of the Time Bandit boat featured on The Deadliest Catch.
Hmm.
You guys, were you guys ever Deadliest Catch watchers?
I've watched it, sure.
Okay. And
I'm more of an Ice Road Truckers.
Sure. He sent us a photo, and it's a photo of the boat, the Time Bandit boat. And the restaurant is Domendidos. D-O-M-E-N-I-D-O-S.
Domendidos.
I could see why Wade, thank you for the email. Why you would be excited, because it feels like a direct ripoff of DeMunkino's.
Yeah, we're gonna have our lawyer, which of course is the three of us
yep.
in an overcoat.
Oh, yep. Damn it. It says on the sign established in 1981. So
that's all right. That's
we don't well, we don't date the wait, podcast, so
we don't date the podcast. That's why we don't date the podcast.
Famously, Brett was established in 1982, so...
That is true.
What's the name of their tangy sauce? That's really going to get... We'll get to the bottom
is
of it.
Orangutan?
Yeah, I think it's called like... No, I can't do it. Couldn't figure...
Can you buy one, get one chimpan free?
Ooh, that's a new one. I like that one. But I liked Wade's email, and so I'm using the word bandit.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, you got Smokey and the...
Sure.
And
the bear? Is it, you talking about Smokey and the bear?
No. And well,
only you can prevent forfeiture.
Bandit is, I mean, I guess you're still a criminal, but it seems like a lesser criminal than a robber or a thief.
It's more old timey. I feel like
it's a old timey.
Bandit mm-hmm. is you're robbing a bank or something. I feel like it's not as bad as you're a criminal, because I don't think you've done any harm to people, but I feel like you're I don't know. It's tough.
I feel like a bandit is, in my mind's eye, a bandit is a thief that wears one of those old-timey cloths with the eye holes cut out.
A masked bandit, yeah.
And maybe rides a horse. Like,
that
to
sense.
Me is a bandit.
Yeah.
Like, maybe halting a train or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know the actual difference, but in my head, I'm like, a bandit rides a horse, and they
yeah.
have that
in my brain,
is there
I'm
a
thinking
Western
of,
feel to, is there a Western?
Oh, to bandit?
Yeah,
yes.
I think so.
Yeah. Or, well, also Seagal, though, or in Time Bandit.
Seagal.
Not Seagal.
Steven Seagal's in Time Bandit?
Time Cop was Van
Time
Damme.
Cop. Time Bandit is a different thing.
Time Bandit was the Warwick Davis movie, wasn't it?
Yes. It was
Terry Gilliam?
The guy who... Yeah, I was going to say all his movies, there's some fucking mm-hmm. thing that happens, some natural disaster. Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Terry Gilliam.
Now, I was thinking
who
of
was
a,
in Monty Python?
Like a marsupial mm-hmm. yep. who drives like go-karts around on a track.
Oh, that would be a bandicoot.
That's what I mean. Crash Bandicoot. That's yes, what I was yes, yes. about. I'm sorry.
Crash Bandicoot.
But yeah, I agree it would be somebody, but I also feel like it would be somebody who would wear like a cloth.
handkerchief?
A handkerchief, like, just to their nose and would come in, yeah, like, give me all your money type stuff.
And maybe have, like, maybe tie a woman to the railroad tracks, but she's fine. Like we said, Bandit probably doesn't kill. Doesn't and kill. They also have, like, mustache wisps coming out the side, like,
yeah, that makes, that sounds like a scoundrel, though, honestly, a little bit.
Yeah, you're right, that's a scoundrel.
Or a dastardly.
It would be funny if that became a verb, like, what happened? Oh, my house was bandited. I got bandited at the ATM.
I got bandited. Has anyone seen my phone? I believe I've been bandited. You're like, what?
Stop! Bandit! Bandits! I don't know if anybody would help. They'd be like, who? It what? Is,
yeah, I don't think
it
anyone...
It is fun to say.
That is fun to say.
Help! Help a bandit!
Excuse me, everyone. Your attention. My haberdashery has been roused by a bandit. What the fuck are you saying?
Yeah, I don't think if you yelled that, help! Police! Bandit! I don't think anyone
Band-aid?
Would...
Band-aid? What?
Yeah, I don't...
Did you cut yourself?
Bandit like Beckham? If anybody
Bandit
has seen...
Like and Beckham.
Rob, I don't know... Yeah. I don't know if I've asked you about your kids watching this. Mm. Louis, one of the parents on
They've
Bluey's
watched.
Named Bandit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. I didn't pick that up. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's also a great dog's name, though.
Very good.
Bandit is a great dog name. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And those dogs, a dog named Bandit almost always has a kerchief, a red kerchief.
Yeah.
Yep. His wife's name is Chili.
Interesting.
It's also another good dog's name.
Yes, that's right. Yes. And he's, I think he's an archaeologist and she works at airport security. So it's funny because he literally digs up bones like a dog and she sniffs for drugs like a dog.
Oh, that's amazing.
I know.
And they live in a mansion.
Yeah, they live in, they live in Australia though. I think the dollar or... Rupel or Scallywag or whatever the fuck they use down there. You know, I think it goes a long way.
I think it is the Australian Scallywag. And I think it's...
Do you think they have... Do you think when they take food home, it's left unders?
Actually, this I like.
I do like that actually a lot.
Is it because we're over...
left unders?
Well, maybe if you're over the equator, like above it, it's a leftover. But if you're under the equator, it's a left under.
Like it.
And you say the toilet goes the opposite direction, so when you take a shit and flush it, it goes up. It goes back up into your butt. Because that's how that works.
And when Australians blink, their eyes go down.
Well, down and under.
I mean, yeah. It makes sense. It totally makes sense.
Yes. Dingo.
Famously ate my baby.
Famously ate my baby.
Mm-hmm.
A wild dog. Everything in Australia is trying to kill you. We all say that. We like to say that.
We all know that. If you... Okay, so you're in line at a bank. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago with Pat about robbing a bank, but we didn't really discuss what would you do if you were in line at the bank and everyone was like, everyone down?
Down.
You're just going down? You're just...
Absolutely, I go down. Yeah, I would actually...
What would you do if you were at a bank?
Is there any part of you that wants to like... Is there any part of you like wants to see like...
No. No, fear of death, fear of getting shot. I would comply.
Yeah.
Right away.
I think everyone here's, and Brett, you'd let me know if this is correct, because it seems like you're maybe not on board with Rob's answer. I feel like we've all seen enough like John Wick movies and all this stuff where it's like, and if you go on like Nextdoor or any of those awful apps, everyone is like, I had someone keyed my car. And then 10 people are like, I hope someone tries to key my car.
Yep.
I think everyone in their head is like, I'm a badass and I can take on 10 dudes. And it's I don't think you understand the reality of like, if you tried to even fight two people, they'd destroy you. Like,
no,
it is, everyone has an idea of their head of like, I would do this. Yep. And it's like, when you're in the moment and a gun is pulled on you, you would go down fast.
100%. I'm not disagreeing with either of you. I would 100% comply. In my mind, I want to go down so I have the best vantage point to see what's going on. Because a lot of people go straight
talk
down.
Talk about best blowjobs.
A lot of people go down and they go immediately. They lay on their belly and they're looking at the floor. But then there's also some
lay
people.
On your back.
Well, I mean, there's also people that like sit.
Put your hands behind your head.
No,
and
no,
when
no,
they
no.
go turn over, you go, you didn't say.
But sometimes there's people that are like,
Simon
like
didn't
specify. They sit down. They just go down. They sit down and they're like leaning up against the thing. I feel like that. You know, because you kind of want to see what's going on.
I don't want them to think that I got a glimpse of that they've lift up a
True.
Mask.
Yeah.
I'm head down, and in my head, I'm just saying, please, nobody be a hero. I might actually even say that out loud. I might seem like an accomplice that I would be helping them so much without being able to identify them.
And then one guy speaks up and he's like, oh no, I just went to Subway. Yeah. I just went to Subway. I have a hero sandwich in my bag.
And they're like, give me the combination to the vault. And they're like, there is no vault. There's only a wind tank with money. And the villain's like, yes.
Give me the code to give unlimited time.
Yes. I do think it'd be a funny comic panel of like, somebody pulls out a gun and says, everybody get down. Next panel is Rob saying, nobody be a hero. Third panel is like Superman's walking in to save the day, and he hears that, and he's like, oh, walks out.
Or the comic panel is, they say everybody get down, and the next panel is everybody starts dancing.
And we're working
like, no!
I would not want to see what's going on, but that is insane to be like, oh, I kind of want to look around.
Oh, no.
Well, if I they just see feel someone like IDing their faces, wanna, come not on. Not that, I don't want to be caught off guard with like, you know, if there's a chance. If you see like an opportunity or just to like run out or whatever, you know, type of thing. Well, I don't want to put anyone else in danger by like running away. But if you're looking face down, I feel like you can't, there's no logic whatsoever. You have to look down. You have to adhere to everything that's going on. But I feel like if you have some sort of vantage point, you can see what's going on.
Dude, that would be a terrifying 5 seconds if you decided to make a break for it or you just start running and you're like, please don't. I don't want to feel warmth in my body. Like, you know what I mean? You just feel a gun. Like, that would be
right in a zigzag pattern.
Yeah.
I think I would be a terrible bank robber because I'd be like, everybody get down. And then I'd go around and I'd be like, jewelry, wallets, whatever. And somebody would hand me a ring and I'd be like, is this your wedding ring? And they'd be like, yeah. And I'm like, I don't want to take this.
I can't do this.
I can't do that.
Please, I have kids. Get up.
Just go.
Go.
Actually, and I pull the gun back and I go, actually, call him right now. Tell him you love him.
And I'm laying face down and I go, excuse me, bandits? Can I sit up? Can I lean on something? It's just my back. It's just not going to do well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Here, put your hand on my shoulder.
Put your hand on my shoulder.
Suddenly we're dancing, we're kissing.
And now we're getting down. Like, he didn't pull out a gun, he put out a disco ball.
Getting down.
I did to go to Smoking the Bandit. That song. I know words came out. I played the theme song for my kids, and they really like it. And like if we're on a road trip, they want to hear Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound and Down.
It's really fun.
Back up and
talking. I know the song.
We're gonna do what they say can't be done. We got a long way to go. Have you seen Smoking the Bandit?
No. It sounds like we got a great big con.
I've seen it. Yeah, I really enjoy the Cannonball Run movies better than Smoking the Bandit.
Oh, Smoking the Bandit is better than Cannonball, but Cannonball Run is very good.
Cannonball
too.
Run is insanely good. Both of them.
One very good. Burt Reynolds,
Dom DeLuise, Sammy Davis Jr., Terry Bradshaw. I mean,
Dean Martin. Yeah, they really.
It was like a Super Bowl commercial of stars in a movie with very small cameos.
Cavalcade of celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen any of that. I don't think I've seen a single Burt Reynolds movie.
Oh, you got to see Sharky.
You've seen
what was the one where he plays a ghost?
Marky Mark. What's the one with Marky Mark?
Oh, Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, of course.
Or Striptease. And he was also in Striptease was with Demi Moore. Mm-hmm. And he played Sally Field's husband who died, and he was like a ghost in her house. That was a good one.
Wow.
I've read Burt Reynolds' biography,
Rob,
by the way.
Pump the brakes because you're naming
Burt
movies
Reynolds,
now.
Man.
I understand, but he made a lot of under the radar ones that clearly you've seen.
And he was in the Cherokee Kid, which I aforementioned. He was also in the Cherokee Kid, which I've seen.
That is true.
So
have we talked about? I feel maybe we've talked about it. The Mark Summers, Burt Reynolds.
Yes,
we did.
Mm-hmm. That's what started my love of Burt Reynolds, and then I was just like, I consumed all of his any movie that was on. I watched and I read his biography.
I think great. Roast comedian stand-up. He'd be called Burnt Reynolds.
You burnt.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and burn our third word. Rob, what do you have on today's menu?
Today's menu. Well, you know, my daughter was like, you know, she's like, you're doing your podcast. I was like, yeah. And she's like, what's it about? And I told her, you know.
Don't leave us, Dad. Talk to us.
And I told her, you know, everybody brings a word. And I said, you know, how about you give me a word?
Oh,
and
Edie special.
She was like, oh, okay. It is. And at first she said loving, and I was like, oh, okay. And then she said, no, respect.
Wow.
So, and that is not a sign of my parenting. It's not that kind of, I don't know where she came up with it, but that is the word. The word is R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to us.
Your daughter it's almost like a mafia boss. It's like, I'd rather be respected than loved.
Than loving. No. How about the word loving? No. How about the word respect?
First you get respect. Love is a side effect.
I'd rather be feared than respected. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, of course, makes me think of Aretha Franklin, and mm-hmm. I think Otis Redding originally sang the song.
Respecting at the dock of the bay.
Yeah, that's what I'm mm-hmm. thinking about.
Yep.
You got to respect the dock of the bay. You call it. There's no warning signs. There's no railing.
No, you have to.
You got to respect the dock of the bay.
Even if you put your feet in the water, there could be shark could eat your feet off.
Blech. No, thank you.
Is it really he was the first to do it?
I think so. He might have covered her, but I think his version came out. I don't know. I feel like it's almost a Dolly Parton, Whitney Houston situation.
Okay.
I Will Always Love You or something. Or yeah. Nothing okay. Compares to You, Prince, Sinead O'Connor.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I could be wrong. Blues Brothers, I think, starring Aretha Franklin, starring mm-hmm. guest spot by Aretha Franklin. I think Blues Brothers is one of the best comedies of all time. And I feel like Dan Aykroyd is an underrated genius. I think Dan Aykroyd has changed comedy, mm-hmm. and I feel like he is never first billed, and I mm-hmm. feel like he gets no respect. Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
I agree with you on most of those things. I also feel like that movie had so many cameos and guest stars, but it never was silly. I feel like so many times now you'll see like a movie or whatever, and I'd be like, oh, there's this cameo in it. And it's like super throwaway, really stupid. Everyone who's in that movie they're obviously all famous musicians and stuff. They're all good actors too. They're all really good at the parts they were doing. And it never felt like we're just throwing this person in here for a cheap gag.
Oh yeah. Cab Calloway. That was my introduction to Cab Calloway. And I was like, this guy's incredible.
I mean, Ray Charles was incredible in that movie.
James Brown.
Yeah, like everyone's just really, really good.
Yeah.
I got to see it one of these days. I still haven't seen it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Really?
And I'm a big
Steven
Dan Aykroyd
Spielberg's
fan.
In it, yeah. Right? Spielberg's in it.
I don't know.
Carrie Fisher.
Yeah. Frank Oz.
I do think, Brett, there is a silly part, which is there's a part where cop cars in Blues Brothers, cop cars play, they have a different gravitational pull or something where they treat cop cars like ping pong balls.
Well,
they just
correct.
Toss them
same
everywhere.
Thing,
they drop. They drop a cop car from like 5,000 feet in the air.
No,
like
no,
they're
no,
constantly.
No. The thing that falls from the air is the Nazi in the car.
Oh yes.
But that's like a filmmaking decision. I was just commenting that like
yes, okay.
And even that way too in like I think it's maybe just the 80s, like the Muppet movie, the same thing, always riddled with guest stars, but always everyone they chose was really good. And even though it was a brief cameo, like it was very believable. And it wasn't just like, hey, look, I'm here, waka waka type stuff.
Well, that would be Fozzie the Bear. I do think any like Muppets movie, one of my favorite movies is Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Mm-hmm. Anytime somebody's acting with animation or Muppets or whatever it is, if they treat it like a real, sort of like Naked Gun, mm-hmm. where they got Leslie Nielsen and he was like a dramatic actor and he's like, I'm not a comedian. And they go, that's why we want you. Mm-hmm. And so he plays it as real as can be. That's the same thing of like in the Muppet movies with like Michael Caine in the Muppet, Dickens,
Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol. Thank you.
Yeah.
He's playing it as if he's at the Royal Shakespeare Theater.
Same thing
versus
with,
being like, here's my buddy. Here's Gonzo.
Who's the guy in the Great Muppet Caper?
Tim Curry?
No.
That's the Treasure Island one.
No, the guy. What the fuck is his name? He was with the De Niro in the
Joe Pesci?
No.
He
what's
was
the one
with
De Niro,
De Niro
where they're like flying in the airport and he has money in his belt or whatever?
Oh, Charles Grodin?
Charles Grodin.
Oh,
that's Midnight right. Run.
Midnight Run. Yeah. Charles Grodin is great in Great Muppet Caper.
Charles Grodin is underrated too.
Yeah,
he's fantastic. No, he passed away, I think, either this year or last year. From Pittsburgh. I didn't know about that until I read his obituary. You're naming all. I don't think I've ever seen a Muppet movie either, so I can't be any help. I will say Dan Aykroyd is fantastic. I love Spies Like Us.
Yes.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So good.
So many great movies.
Sadly, though, I get a commercial every once in a while for a new show on Fox Nation. That is George Wendt, Dan Aykroyd, Jim Belushi, maybe Lovitz, and Kevin Nealon. And it is
that
like...
That sounds good.
Yeah, but it's like, we talk about we talk about drinks and we talk about current events, and like it's on Fox Nation. So you see the trailer and it definitely leans like, oh, this is going to be like, remember when we could call guys guys and they weren't, you know, we don't call them he, you know, all, like it's that type
of
stuff.
Wait. Hey, Brett, can we not call guys guys anymore?
You know what I mean?
Oh, you know, I've not even heard of this show. I would absolutely like, watch out of curiosity for sure.
Oh, I think, Rob, you would love it. Not because you agree with their politics. Yeah, I just think you find humor in it where I find it like unwatchable.
Morbid curiosity. They said the first, Dan Aykroyd wrote the original screenplay and then helped write the revised screenplay of Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the original screenplay he wrote, let's say, I don't know the exact number, who gives a shit? Let's say the exact number of pages for a screenplay is like 120. I know it's not. Well, let's say it's 120. He wrote a screenplay that was like 800 pages and gave it to Harold Ramis, and Ramis read it, and it was like, it was Ghostbusters, but they were on a different planet. They were like four humans on a different planet.
Oh, wow.
And they were capturing ghosts. They were basically like cops and all this stuff. And Ramis was like, okay. it's a little long. I think it should be set in New York. I think XYZ. And then they brought in Ivan Reitman. And so it eventually became what it is. But they said the first draft was like mad, like,
Madness. Oh, he's very like UFO, like very, he's very like UFO. Sci-fi, like
His whole family, his family tree is all like
he has a vodka company called Crystal Skull where he'll sell you vodka. By the way, the show is called History of the World in Six Glasses.
Oh,
that's actually a book.
It says it's based off that.
Okay.
I have that book.
Yeah. You might have to subscribe to Fox Nation.
Oh,
I'm sure. There's other ways to watch.
But what? Going back to respect, I don't care if I'm respected. Is that a bad thing?
No. I think it depends on who. I think if it's like friends or family or something or your partner, obviously you want respect. But if I'm in line at a grocery store and someone cuts in front of me,
I'm like,
you know what, dude, if this is your thing, like, I don't give a shit. Like, I can wait 10 more seconds. So I'm not like, you will get behind me. You will play by the rules. I think I'm just like, I'm annoyed, but I'm like, I don't.
And I feel ultimately, like, while there are situations like that, I feel like you don't want to be labeled as like someone who's not well respected, because then it feels like, like you're kind of shitty.
Or just bad at what you do, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah. But I do like show some respect.
Yeah. Like, you don't like care if saying, Edie I'll respects respect. You or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does Edie respect you, Rob?
I hope. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
She did give a word loving, and then right away she switched it. So maybe she was going to tell you something.
Yeah. You know, well, I guess kids, love is more important to me than respect, I think, in the grand scheme of things.
I love you, but I respect you. See, that feels like something like someone would say, you know?
That would be really fun if you were dating somebody and you're like, I respect you. You'd be like, what?
Huh? They're like, I love you. I respect you. What did you say?
I love you. I respect you. Like,
I respect you.
To see it portrayed in like movies and TV or whatever, some of the funniest shit in the world is people who are like sweaty for respect.
Yes.
And some of the saddest things to see in real life is that same thing. Like, I've had substitute teachers in high school who were like, my name is Mr. Bennett, and I will be filling in today. You don't have to like me, but you will respect me. Like, they would give those types of speeches. And everyone's looking around like, you don't have it. The minute you say all this, we hate
the
you.
The second somebody says, you don't have to like me, you have to respect me, like, I do not respect you.
It's like,
I don't respect or like you.
You're here for a day, dude.
You can't demand.
And we're going to ruin your life.
That's what it is. You can't demand it. Respect is earned, which is a saying.
Yes.
It's true. Yes, you can't. You have to earn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's like credit card points.
It is like credit card points. But I do also like characters where you're like sweaty for respect is a great like comedic thing. Because you think like The Office. That's The Office.
Yes.
Like
any
kind of character that you're just like, all this person wants is this, and they just can't get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love that. Sweaty for respect or unearned confidence.
Yeah.
I love where it's like someone who's an idiot.
Yeah. Yep.
Genesis album title was Sweaty for Respect. On the other point, people I dislike is people who make American flags like their motif and their walk of life, where like they kind of plaster them all over their vehicles or wear shirts without it. And those are the kind of like, you must respect this flag type of
people. Yeah.
I just, anyone who makes like an American flag like that, you know, Dave, he's got American flags everywhere and he's kind of Blue Lives Matter. Like anyone who's like that stuff is just like, oh my, I don't respect you at all.
Yeah. I don't know if I said this before, but I was at, I've been to a few Bears games, but I was at one specific Bears game where it wasn't terribly cold out. So I was wearing, a sweater and a hat and whatever else. And there's like four guys in front of me who all had their shirt off. Very, very large dudes. They all had body paint with all whatever. Mm-hmm. They had like shoulder pads with bears on them. They had like masks with a bear's mouth wide open. They had like all this shit. And it was like, fuck. I don't know if it was Green Bay. It was like, fuck Green Bay or like Green Bay blank Packer, you know, whatever it was.
Right.
And the national anthem starts and I'm quiet and I don't put my hand over my heart because I don't feel the need to, but I just stand there respectfully quiet. And they, at some point, like out of the corner, I catch me and they go, take off your hat. And I go, huh? Oh. And they go, take off your hat. And I'm like, look at you. You look at you right now. Your shirt is off. You have body paint all over. You have these stuffed bears. And they're like, you need to respect the flag. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I felt insane because I'm like, what do you think? I don't know. What do you think taking a hat off does?
Yeah. It's tough.
Get your brain closer to God. And
yeah.
It's insane. Yeah, it's, I think it's a bummer that the flag has become politicized. I think it, simply just sound like, hey, I like my country.
You should just be a grand old flag. You should just be a high flying flag.
But I'm also not a flag. I'm also a person of like, look, I didn't choose to be born. If I was born somewhere, like the allegiance is weird to me. I can't blindly be allegiant to something like that. So I just, there's always a little part of me that, I don't know if you did this in school, but I found out you could, you didn't have to stand, like for the Pledge of Allegiance, I would just stand still. I didn't do it.
That's awesome.
You could just opt out. I didn't know you could do that. So I opted
bad
out.
Boy. Bad boy.
I was a bad boy. I didn't pledge of allegiance. I didn't pledge allegiance.
Well, you're also stuck in the art closet for half the year. So
that sports thing, this is not directly related, but I just had this one moment that's always stuck with me because this guy, it was just a killer line. I went to the University of Pittsburgh. I went to a Pitt DePaul basketball game here. In the Allstate Arena, and DePaul was terrible, not like Pitt's good, but Pitt won handily, and we were getting up to leave, and these two guys, they were probably 15, 20 years older than myself, and my really good friend from college came out, was in Chicago, so we went, but he stood up, and he goes, we started to get up to leave, and the guy goes, hey, pick up your trash, this isn't Pittsburgh, boys, we throw our garbage away, and I was like, that was good, that was a great line.
That's very funny.
It was very good.
That was very funny.
I feel like after the Pledge of Allegiance was over and I didn't take off my hat, I feel like one of them turned around, like they wanted to get, you could tell they wanted to get into it. Mm-hmm. Even though we were both rooting for the Bears, they wanted to get into it.
Right.
But somebody said something along the lines of like, clearly you've never known anyone who served in the military. And I'm like, one, that has nothing to do with it. To me, I'm just like, this seems like so outdated. Yeah. Like this seems like something from like the 1500s where it's like, you must remove the top of your head.
Right.
So the flag that the omniscient flag, and it's like, get the fuck out of here. And I'm like, I've had several family members serve in military.
Yes.
No disrespect to them. Like, I'm cool with whatever, but but to take off my hat, to leave my hat on does not mean fuck you to military. I don't understand the correlation there. You're wearing a thong with body paint, all this shit. You know, you have assless chaps on, you look fucking insane.
Well, yeah, it's just they're all.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all insane.
And then I feel like we also, just to get really riled up, I feel like I know people who will watch, you see like in China or something where it's like a classroom of students in China will do some drill in the morning or something. Mm-hmm. And people watch it and they're like, this is unbelievable. Look at them. They all have to do this thing and they all have to stand and like make the same pose. And I'm like, you're describing the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, you're describing what all of our schooling was from 1960 to basically 88. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like then it kind of really, it really fell down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to do it.
and I proudly stand up.
I gotta take like 12 flags in to be burned.
That song. So I did. It was very moving actually. When my brother was overseas, he's in the army, and he came back from Iraq, and we were in Colorado Springs in like this gym in Fort Carson in Colorado Springs, where they were all like literally like all the families were there to welcome the soldiers. But yeah, they were like literally landed, walked right in, you know, and they were walking in. It was like, you know, it was so great because like, I mean, you know, you're just so happy. But that song started playing and it took me out of it completely.
Yeah,
I was like, why this song?
Propaganda machine was, the wind was open and they were just, you had to catch the
pamphlets. It was still a great moment, but that song, I was like, not this song.
Yeah.
There used to be, everywhere. Like it played all the time.
Oh,
maybe it was like during Desert Storm, like 92, 93, but there used to be a radio version of it that was nonstop that would be the song. But throughout the song, it would be people reading letters or sending messages. So it'd be like, I can't remember the rest of the song, but it's like, and I proudly stand up next to you. Yeah. And then someone would be like, Billy Williams, please come home. I love you.
Oh, da, 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 da. No.
And so it became this thing of like,
yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was like, I feel bad for these people, but at the same time, it just feels like, it feels weird. It all feels weird.
I mean,
yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
Sorry to get into some weirdness here.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We have nothing to play. We're fucking three white guys who fucking do a podcast. But we definitely have opinions on how we love America.
Yes. I have an eagle tattoo. Yeah. What's an eagle?
Mine's Eagle Man. Eagle Man. It's that.
Oh, Chicago commercial.
An egg goes through my butthole, and then I have insurance prices on my thighs.
Huh. I just have a beagle.
Checkers? Nixon's dog?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this has been three guys with glasses talking about.
No. I got LASIK. I don't wear glasses anymore. Sometimes wear them.
Mm-hmm.
This has been three guys who weigh exactly the same, give or take.
Yeah. If you're on the metric, if one guy's on the regular system and one guy's on metric, boy, the numbers are real similar.
And I think we should probably stand up, put our hands over our hearts, and listen to Brett recap this episode.
I pledge allegiance to the contact of the United States of America and to the bandit for which he robs. One respect under God for liberty, liberty, liberty. .com.
So wide. Take a look inside ourselves and we know that we can't hide and we proudly. Word associate.
Oh no!
All right, we just lost 50 listeners.
All because we weird out the end of the song.
Yeah, weird out.
That's all right. We got a lot of people. Per our emails, we definitely got more international listeners. So they're probably listeners. So they're probably like,
on board.
Fuck is this? They're alienated and they're well, thank you all so much for listening. You can email us at twapod@gmail.com. You can send us anything and everything except for any of your thoughts, opinions, or information on the Monty Hall problem. Please stop.
We fucked up.
We get it. Guess what? Me reading it in an email isn't going to help me understand it even more. And you know what? If you do want to email us about it, put a different subject header.
Yeah.
Put a different email. And at the bottom, you can get me on a PPS and you talk about Monty Hall. It's the only way to trick me in. To read
now,
the
Brett,
thing.
Can you quickly use your powers for good? Can you use your LASIK to look into the future and see if we get any more Monty Hall problem emails?
I don't know, because if I close one eye, I think then I have a 50% chance of seeing it out of my left eye. So I don't know. I'll pick eye number three, my all-knowing eye.
Goodbye.
The word association is Brett Lyons, Adil Rafai, and Rob White. The Word Association theme song was written and performed by Arnie Parrott. Editing was done by me, Julia W.D. Harrison. If you'd like to send a word or two along, please email the show at twapod@gmail.com.
I would not open an account at a bank that had one of those, because I'd be like, is that my money?
Yeah.
Like,
what? Wait, are you telling me I deposit my money into this, and whenever I catch, I get to deposit for my savings account?
What do you- What do you mean I can't withdraw $500 because you don't have it? What's going on?
Or you want to withdraw $500? Like, yeah, sure. If you can catch it all in an hour.
That'd be funny. We keep what you don't get and be like, what the fuck?